And this is our number
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I'm checking all your text messages. A lot of people, I should have addressed this before now. A lot of people have said that our signal, if you're listening on the radio, that our signal's not as strong down Olympia and Issaquah. I'm hearing from people all around the region. I do know that Cairo Radio, we're on our backup transmitter, and I think today is the last day of that. I think they had to do some maintenance on the main transmitter up there on Tiger Mountain. So we are on a backup transmitter, so it's not quite the same coverage pattern. So you can always listen if you're near a computer, online. And I got to tell you, man, our online digital numbers are just through the roof. And I know a lot of you listen to the podcast and listen on your schedule. We sure appreciate it. And tell a bunch of friends, too, because we just have this incredible community of people and people who feel like they don't have a voice, and we want to be that for even more and more of our community. So especially if you're one of our podcast listeners, tell your friends and get them downloading us and listening in. But we just saw the most recent download numbers, and they were just humbling is the best word. They were just incredible. So thank you for however you consume our show. I know a lot of people live stream it right now at 1:08 in the afternoon while they're working on their computers at home. So thank you. We really appreciate it. It's been just fantastic. So anyway, a lot of people were asking about the radio signal. I got this from a listener over on the west side of the sound. It's Federal Way. I'm sorry, I thought that was Bremerton. From the 206, went to the Federal Way Best Buy yesterday. Inventory drained. A friendly employee said many TVs not being displayed because the wall shelving was destroyed during the looting. Also said what happened at the South Center store, not reported fully on the news. 500 people inside the store, 2,000 outside. The cops just watched. The store manager cried while watching on his security cameras. And it is heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking to watch all of these businesses. And I'm hearing Jenny Durkin say, well, we're not going to let Donald Trump send federal law enforcement in here. That'll make things dangerous. Jenny, you created CHOP, where two teenagers were murdered. One of them executed at point-blank range. Those two armed killers are still walking the streets. And I would not be at all surprised if they kill again. We've had how many other shootings? We've had five shootings in Seattle in the last 3 days. We had a shooting in Shoreline 2 days ago. There was a mass shooting at a bus stop in Kent last week. Please don't tell me or any of my listeners that federal law enforcement are going to make things more dangerous. When you created CHOP, two teenagers murdered because of it, and the killers walking free. It doesn't get much more dangerous than that. So things can only get better from here. And then there's another story that a listener sent me. Let me pull this one up here. So a young man in Seattle went to the Portland protests on Saturday night. He ended up in a hospital emergency room. He said that he was assaulted by federal agents. And so the Seattle man has announced that he is going to sue President Donald Trump and the acting secretary of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security because he drove to Portland for the nightly rioting there. I think last night was day 56 of the rioting in Portland. And this guy says because his claim, federal law enforcement agents, he says, beat him. He said that they were going after some woman, and he tried to get between the officer and the woman, and then the officers injured him. But now he is going to sue President Trump and the Department of Homeland Security. I'm going to guess he loses that lawsuit. Just a guess. This guy says, Channel 7 also had a story about him. He says he was peacefully protesting when all of a sudden federal agents with batons and shields charged him and put a beating on him. And he's got black eyes. I see pictures of him in his bed. The guy is a educator for the Seattle schools. Drive to Portland, where there's been rioting every night. Get physically hit by law enforcement and sue President Donald Trump. That seems to me every step of the way to be a logical course of events. And of course, as always, we wish him the very best. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15. Then you have the Michigan school teacher who has been fired after simply tweeting, Donald Trump is our president. Justin Cusera, who teaches at a school district 30 miles northwest of Detroit, faced the wrath of administration and was told to either resign or be fired after tweeting on July 6th. And this is the tweet in its entirety. He wrote, I'm done being silent. Donald Trump is our president. Don't. And then it's the A symbol. The A. Don't A me. I don't know what that means. But that was his entire tweet. He said he was required to meet with human resources, the superintendent, and his principal on July 10th. They took his statement on why he tweeted that, and then they said they would have a decision, and they have now ruled that, and he's a popular teacher. Kids say he's pretty apolitical, doesn't bring any politics into the classroom. And he says they fired him for tweeting, Donald Trump is our president. And this is something I've been talking about a lot. The radical forces that are at play, they are mandating groupthink. If you are a city council member who says, you know, one of the two out of nine who said, we can't cut the police budget 50%, they go to your house and try to terrorize you until you come around to their way of thinking. And that's what is being mandated, groupthink. And it's one of the many very disappointing aspects of how our government is handling this, because as we talked about a couple of days ago, the one thing that is still worth fighting for above all else is our Constitution. Last night at the Seattle riots, Katie Davis Court was recording some stuff, and they go berserk if anybody on a public street is recording the rioters. And they are coming and they, you know, physically, you know, make contact with her. They put umbrellas up against her camera on her phone. And that's a basic First Amendment right. They have a right to be there and they have a right to gather and march in the streets. But any journalist, including citizen journalists, have a right to be in that same public street and record it. But they will not, and they will put violent beatings on people who are recording stuff. So they march under the cover of the First Amendment, and then during the march, they brutally assault other people's First Amendment rights. And this is the tone that your government officials are enabling right now. All right, next up in the Fastest 15. So this was funny. It's long. But Dr. Mark Siegel, who works for Fox News, he got a one-on-one with President Trump at the White House yesterday. And I'm watching this exclusive interview last night. And one of the things they talked about was Trump's mental acuity, especially versus Joe Biden's. And Donald Trump started talking about some cognitive test that he took, and he just wouldn't stop talking about it. And it's, like I said, it's a long soundbite, but it's just ridiculously silly, and I thought really funny.
I said to the doctor, it was Dr. Ronnie Jackson, I said, is there some kind of a test, an acuity test? And he said, there actually is, and he named it, whatever it might be. And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's like you'll go person, woman, man, camera, TV. So they say, could you repeat that? So I said, yeah. So it's person, woman, man, camera, TV. Okay, that's very good. If you get it in order, you get extra points. If you, okay, now he's asking you other questions, and then 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes later, they say, remember the first question? Not the first, but the 10th question? Give us that again. Can you do that again? And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. If you get it in order, you get extra points. They said, nobody gets it in order. It's actually not that easy, but for me, it was easy. And that's not an easy question. In other words, they ask it to you, they give you five names, and you have to repeat them, and that's okay. If you repeat them out of order, it's okay, but you know, it's not as good. But then when you go back about 20, 25 minutes later, and they say, go back to that question, they don't tell you this, go back to that question and repeat them. Can you do it? And you go, person, woman, man, camera, TV. They say, that's amazing. How did you do that? I do it because I have, like, a good memory, because I'm cognitively there. Now, Joe should take that test, because something's going on. And I say this with respect. I mean, it's going to probably happen to all of us, right? You know, it's going to happen. But we can't take a chance.
Oh, man. I mean, you got to vote for him in November just because we need four more years of sound bites. Just from forget about what you think is best for the country. Do what's best for talk show hosts like me. Because person, woman, man, camera, TV. You know what I wish, Nicole? I wish that the journalists would actually get a couple questions from that test and ask both Trump and Biden in the middle of the interview to answer the questions. I would like to see that. I would really enjoy seeing Joe try to answer stuff like that.
That would be really fun. I mean, maybe if they do end up doing a debate, I hope that we get at least one debate. You know, they could do this test. They could give them five words at the beginning of the debate and ask them both to repeat at the end. It'd be great.
I did see what one of the questions was. Should we do a cognitive test of our show staff here? Sean,
no.
You want to do a cognitive test?
I'd love to.
Okay. One of the questions, count backwards from 100 by sevens.
Okay, really? You're going to start with that one? Why don't you go first, Dory?
Well, Nicole, you want to try that one?
No. I mean, I could do it, but it would take me, I would be very slow.
Really? Well, now, people are going to think I have it in front of me. I do not. I promise you I don't.
No, I know this is how your brain works well for these types of things.
193, I have to close my eyes. 193, 86, 79, 72, 65, 58, 51, 44, 37, 30, 23, 16, 9-2. There you go.
Wow. Okay. But you're also
ridiculous.
You're also a self-described math genius. So,
well, I don't describe myself that way.
You don't?
Everybody else does.
Okay. Okay, give us another one. That's not math.
That was the only one I found.
Oh,
I looked
great.
Online, and that was the only one.
What were Nicole, the five words Trump had to remember?
I'm trying to remember what it started with. Person,
uh-oh.
Woman, man, yeah. Camera, TV.
Nice.
Yeah, good job.
Hey, I can count to 100 using ones. One, two,
all
three,
right.
Four.
One time, such a stupid story. When I was 3 years old, my poor mom, I asked her if I could count to a million for her. And I made it up, and you know, I did it right before bed, and then in the morning she was in the bathroom, and I'd sit outside the bathroom door and continue the count. And when I got to about 1,000, she said, "Okay, enough! No, do not count to a million." She got annoyed by me with that. So, hey, I'll find some more cognitive test questions, and we'll test you. We'll test you later in the show.
Mom,
this, okay?
Mom, mom. Mommy.
I've got some tape. This
Mommy.
Is Dory as a child.
Mommy. Mama. Mama.
Asking to count
Mama.
To, what, a billion?
Ma. Ma.
It's going to be a million.
Ma. Ma.
Okay.
Mom.
All right, enough.
Eight,
Mom.
7 seconds.
Mom.
Five, six.
Mom.
Five.
Mommy.
Four.
Stop.
Oh, my goodness.
It's annoying everybody.
So I guess you guys aren't fans of Family Guy because they really go way too far with those things sometimes.
Oh, I know they do. Okay. All right, and finally, in the fastest 15, I like both of these last stories so much. I'll do this one. A couple has won the right from a court to name their son Lucifer. A registrar, when they tried to put it on his birth certificate and register it. A registrar said, whoa, red flag. And they said, you can't name your kid Lucifer. Lucifer is the devil. And the kid will suffer throughout life. Dan and Mandy Sheldon were the parents. And the person who was supposed to register the name told the parents he will never be able to get a job. Teachers won't want to teach him. And the parents said Lucifer in Greek means light bringer and morning. And she wouldn't listen. And so she tried to get a judge to rule that they could not name their child Lucifer, who first popped up in the 1600s in the King James Bible as the devil. And the couple won the court battle and they named their son Lucifer. And as somebody named Dory, I will tell mom and dad, you are doing your son a grave disservice because it stinks going through life with a dumb name. All right, that is your fastest 15.
This has been the fastest 15 minutes in the news. Fast, 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 fast. Dory's fastest 15.
Fast 15 minutes will give you the world. Should we taxpayers get our money back? Because we are paying thousands of dollars a year for schools that the government has now closed. Why are we paying full freight for an education that's not even going to be 50% value for the kids? We should get our money back. And I'll give you details on that next here on the Dory Monson Show. As I've talked about earlier in this show, most school districts around here have now announced they are going to be full online learning. And what we discovered in the spring is that that is not anywhere near a reasonable facsimile of kids being in the classroom. It is just a fraction of the education, the life experience, the connections they make. They're not going to be with their peers. They're not going to be with the teachers or the coaches who make a tremendous impact, sometimes a life-changing impact. And this morning, I was watching a judicial expert in California saying that they cannot continue to collect property taxes for schools if they're closing the schools, because it's just not even close to what we're paying for. And I came up with an analogy. I'll mention it in a couple of minutes. But the person I always turn to for all things education is Liev Finna at the Washington Policy Center. And she joins us here in the Dory Monson Show. Liev, it's great talking with you. Appreciate you coming on with me today.
Oh, thank you very much, Dory.
Especially given, and I did not know this when I first reached out to you this morning, but you were just tweeting about this yesterday and getting a tremendous response. So tell me about the tweet you sent out.
Well, yes, I heard from a friend that the Seattle Public Schools had sent out an announcement saying that they were not going to reopen schools this fall. So I just thought, well, the best thing I can do is go on Twitter and write a quick tweet. And I wrote that, I wrote, Seattle Public Schools just announced they won't reopen schools this fall. Parents should get 15% of their education funding, which in Seattle is $3,000 per student, to hire tutors, buy technology, curriculum, or pay private school tuition for the sake of educating the children.
Yeah.
And that simple tweet has gotten hundreds of likes and retweets and thousands of impressions, a big discussion online about that, because families are really upset, as you can imagine. The beginning of the school year is almost a cultural phenomenon. It's an exciting, uplifting time. We plan for the next year. The child looks forward to being a fourth grader or a 10th grader. Or I remember my children when they were going on to the next year. It was just such an upbeat time. They're going to go back and see their friends and they're get new teachers. Remember all the excitement around which teacher you're going to have and what you're going to learn? And it's not
and
coming.
Now the kids are just depressed. I'm seeing stories all the time about kids who are sitting at the breakfast table. I was watching a news story, and a mom was talking about her son who just had tears, age 15, tears streaming down his face because he's not going to be at school. He's not going to be interacting with his buddies. And the number you gave, so you said they should get 15%, $3,000 back. Why only 15%, Liev? Because they're not getting 85% of an education. I don't even know if they're getting 50%. And we're spending almost $20,000 per kid per year in the public schools. Why not give us $10,000 per kid back? Because that would make much more sense to me.
Well, I was just starting with a small number that Seattle Public Schools can well afford. I looked at the budget numbers, and Seattle Public Schools has $19,700 per student right now. And that their budget has been growing so rapidly that it was only 2 years ago that they had $16,000 per student. So it would be very simple to go back to 2017-18 budget and give over and spend just what they were spending then and give over $3,000 per student to the parent. But your point about how, we are not getting that value is so, the big picture, of course, that's so true. What we're paying for, we are not getting. And really, it is a failure of leadership on every level.
Absolutely. Well, the analogy that I came up with, if somebody spent $200 on a concert ticket to see the Eagles, and the promoter said, oh, the guys are sick and they're not going to do the show tonight. Here's a DVD that cost us $5, but we're going to keep your $200. To me, that's what's happening to the taxpayers around here. We're spending $20,000 per kid, and they're saying, but we're not going to open our physical plant. And you think about all the school employees. They don't need the school security people. They don't need grounds maintenance, the lunch ladies, although they're still providing meals. But I'm talking about the ones who work in the cafeteria, custodial staff. It's maybe they got to go in once every 2 weeks or something. Heating and cooling the buildings, the coaches for all the fall sports, attendance secretaries, bus drivers, and all of transportation, which is a huge cost. Activity leaders, all of these jobs leave. No, they don't need to be filled. They're going to all get paid, and we're going to get nothing in return.
Well, it's kind of like we've decided to give the schools a big grant under COVID. Just a free pass.
But it's a grant for what? Because we're spending this ridiculous amount of money per kid to educate kids, and we've all acknowledged that online learning in the spring, kids have told me, parents have told me, teachers have told me, it was a failure. And I don't expect it's going to be a lot better this fall.
No, and Dory, that I have been digging into the decisions that were being made at every level in the schools. And of course, remember, we have a monopoly, so it has a guaranteed income stream, so it has no incentive to be responsive to the needs and demands of students and families. Okay, so if you look at the first decision made by the state superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl, he sent out a notice immediately saying he prohibited districts from going to online instruction. Remember that?
Yes.
And the North Shore School District had put in place an online instruction and had taught its teachers and trained its teachers and gotten ready for it, and then went over to online instruction, and then were closed down by the superintendent of public instruction, who was basically sending the message of the union: we don't like online instruction. It's scary to us because if we actually find that it's successful, we might lose our power in the system, and the FTEs that they always want to keep to maintain the union power in the system. And so they made sure that online instruction was not going to succeed, which really makes my blood boil, because here we have a pandemic, for heaven's sakes. Everyone is being hurt by this. If anyone needs to be treated properly, it's the children of our children. Should be getting the highest quality online instruction possible during a pandemic. And now I would argue that they should be going back to school, because the balance, children do not get hurt particularly by the illness, and they get hurt from the mental suffering, that the depression. You speak of the child crying at the breakfast table. This is a serious matter. Children learn from each other. They must be together. They're getting
Absolutely.
Falling behind in their education, their socialization, their opportunity to play and interact with their peers, just like you said. It is critical to their development, and we are denying it's like if your kid had decided to drop out of school for 6 months, you would be upset.
Yeah, but they said, but I'll look at some online classes while I sit in the basement. Yeah, no, it'd be awful. Okay, so we only have a couple of moments left. But as I said, the judicial expert in California said that it's unconstitutional to continue to collect the property taxes for schools that the government has closed down. Do you know, Leave, if it is constitutional for the state of Washington, for all of the counties that do the property taxes, can they continue to collect thousands and thousands of dollars per family per year for an institution that they've closed down, and they're now giving us this weakest of facsimiles?
Oh, I think there's a case for this, because remember, our Constitution says that it is the paramount duty of the state to provide for the education of each child residing within its borders. Article 9 of the Constitution, the preamble. The paramount duty of the state.
So who's going to fight for the taxpayers here and challenge the constitutionality of them continuing to collect these taxes?
That's a great question. I don't know. I did see that the institution... There's an organization, ICLJ, that talked about taking they're looking for plaintiffs of parents whose schools are being closed down to sue. The Jay Sekulow's organization, the Institute, the Center for Legal Justice. I forget the total title of it, but
I know
they're looking for plaintiffs. So I think there's going to be lawsuits. I mean, because they are taking our funding and not providing us the service that we pay for. It's as simple as that, just like you said.
Amen. Amen to that. All right, Leave, always appreciate your insights on this, and let's stay in touch as all of this moves forward, okay?
Yes. Thank you very much, Dory. Appreciate it.
All right. You bet. All right. Lieve Finna, she is the education specialist at the Washington Policy Center. What do you think? Do you want a refund for your property taxes that you are giving to the schools, the thousands and thousands of dollars when the schools are closed? Text me at 98973. That's 98973. Lots more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, we've kind of cooled off on carrying every press conference by Donald Trump and Jay Inslee. Jay Inslee has one at 2:30. There may be some significant news there. So we are going to take that live, and you're going to want to hear whatever there is to say. So we'll check in with Jay Inslee at 2:30 this afternoon. I'm going to have more details in the big lead at 2 o'clock, but Jenny Durkin's Summer of Love continues, as we have just found out that on Monday night, a kid was murdered in the Central District. A kid who just graduated from Garfield High School, apparently. And it was really sad because I saw a news story with some of his mentors. The kid was at Garfield as a freshman, and he was doing horribly with academics and just attendance. And so he got into a program that mentors inner city kids. And I really admire programs like that because all they're trying to do is change and save lives. And they got this kid back on track, and he actually graduated high school just a couple of months ago. Well, a month ago, I guess. And then he's murdered on Monday night. And then there was a apparent retaliatory shooting on Tuesday night at the exact same location in the Central District. And we have just found out, Seattle police have just told us, that one of the people shot in that Tuesday night shooting has now died. So that's now 3 murders, 6 people shot in Seattle in the last 3 days. We're not up to Chicago levels yet, but Jenny Durkin's Summer of Love is not looking very lovely right now. So another death, another murder in Seattle. 2 people stabbed, or 1 person stabbed by a homeless guy on Capitol Hill this morning. I'll have more details on all of this. Let's check the news, and then the big lead of 2 is next.